We are a welcoming church, for Christ first welcomed us. The second one, we obey God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit. The third, we seek authentic community as the family of God. The fourth, our love for each other will prove to the world that we are Jesus' disciples. The fifth, we will be reliable as we practice honesty with God, ourselves, and others. And today's, number six, with Christ-like humility, we build others up. With Christ-like humility, we build others up. I'm going to invite Randy up at this time, and he's going to read us our passage. It comes from Philippians. So if you've got your Bible, feel free to open it up to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. 1 to 11.
Okay, Philippians, starting in chapter 2. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Have you read that passage before, or heard that before? If you were with us a few weeks ago when we did number two, we obey God's word by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would have seen that we are in a passage in Philippians just immediately after this one. So we've heard something about the book of Philippians before and what's happening in this book. So a little bit of background is that Paul is in jail as he writes this letter to the church of Philippi. We don't know exactly where he is, maybe somewhere in Rome or Ephesus, but in any case, he's a long ways away from this city of Philippi. Paul is the founding pastor of the church in Philippi. And the context of this letter, the Philippian letter, is that this man named Epaphroditus has traveled from Philippi all the way to the place where Paul is in jail. At least 300 miles, a long journey. And this journey was so arduous and something went wrong that Epaphroditus gets sick, very sick. And so he finally gets to Paul with a gift from the Philippian church to Paul, who's in jail. And he brings this gift, and Epaphroditus doesn't die. He was very sick. He heals, and the time has come now for Epaphroditus to return from the church from where Paul is in jail, back to Philippi. And so Paul sits down, as you might imagine, in a jail cell with his scribe and composes a letter. And so Epaphroditus is going to bring this letter back to Paul. Most of us probably haven't been in jail. And I would say none of us have probably been in jail for our faith in Jesus, for doing something very good. But that's Paul's experience right now. And I don't know what it's like to be in a jail cell, to be thinking, this can be the end of my life. And by the way, Paul is actually thinking that. He's thinking, this could be the end of my life. I may never get out of here. And as he sits in this jail cell, he hears reports from outside jail. And the reports are something like this. There's a group of people, preachers actually, outside the church or outside the jail. And they are preaching. But they're preaching in such a way as to harm Paul. They're preaching a message of the gospel. They're using Jesus' name. They're saying the right words. But they're doing it to hurt Paul. They're doing it to put themselves on their own pedestal, to stand up, to like be above Paul. And so Paul, we'll read this right now in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 19. Paul says it this way. He says to the Philippians, "And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here, that is being put in jail, has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. So despite being put in jail, good things are happening. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. So I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus helps me, this will lead to my deliverance." Paul is getting reports that there are some people of the gospel, people of the way, preachers, preaching the gospel of Jesus, but with bad motives, to put themselves up above Paul, to hurt Paul, as he says. So as I was saying, probably none of us have been in jail for doing something very good. Now imagine that's you. Put yourself in Paul's shoes, and the reports you hear back are people out there preaching the message that's dear to your heart, but doing it in a way to hurt you. I don't know what kinds of things or what kind of motives, you know, would hurt Paul, so to speak. And we can only imagine. The Bible doesn't tell us what that is. But we can imagine maybe preaching the gospel of Jesus, but they do it just so they can put Paul down. Maybe they say things like, "You know what? If Paul was a man of God, he would never be in jail." Actually, to be put in jail in that society and culture, you were looked down on if you were in jail. Can you imagine being Paul in jail and having that said about you? I think that would hurt. I think that when you're facing death and you're considering if this could be the end of your life, that would hurt a lot. And they're doing this just to put themselves up above Paul. Maybe we think about this and we think, you know what? That's terrible that they would do that to someone like Paul, but never me. Like, I would never do that. I would never, you know, preach about Jesus or follow Jesus and put somebody else down to get myself ahead. But I'm going to ask us to consider that again. I think it creeps into our lives in ways that are quite subtle without us really thinking about it, without realizing that maybe we're more like those other preachers at times than we realize. And so I'm going to shine the spotlight on myself in a negative way just to illustrate this point. But I'll tell you, every time that I prepare a sermon, I spend hours working on it. I pour myself out over a sermon, preparing, thinking, praying. Then I get up on a Sunday hoping that something I have to say is going to land with one of you and make some kind of sense. Well, if you were here last weekend, we had an awesome service, didn't we? We had Adult and Teen Challenge visit us, and they shared, people shared stories of overcoming addiction. We had another preacher here who shared a message on self-control. It was awesome. Were you blessed by that? I know some of you were. It was good. So the service wraps up. It was a great Sunday. And I'm standing over there by the door. And as people are leaving, I'm hearing comments about how great the service was. Now, I would like to tell you that I would hear those comments, and the only thought that would ever cross my mind would be, awesome, I'm so glad that the message of Jesus through Pastor Tim is advancing your commitment to Jesus. That's what I want to stand up here and tell you was the only thing that crossed my mind. But unfortunately, there was another thought that crossed my mind. What if they like Tim better than me? What if Tim is a better communicator? What if these people are more impressed with Tim than with me? Have you ever been there? You ever felt that comparison thing? When you're trying very hard to do something, someone else comes along, and you start to do the comparison game. You see, it's possible to do something, like even preach, for the wrong motives. It's possible for us to think, for me to think, this is all about me. But it's not. My father-in-law, Fritz, is here with us this morning, and he often shares how he went on this mission trip, I think it was to Haiti. Well, Fritz comes from the farm, Slate River Valley. He's a mechanic. Now here he is on a mission trip in Haiti. When he gets to the city that they're going to, they're driving around, he's thinking to himself, how can I be of any help? Like, what do I have to be able to minister to these people in this situation and this setting? And if I remember the story right, he starts to pray. And he just has this sense come over him of the Holy Spirit saying to him, Fritz, this isn't about you. This is about what I am going to do. This is about what I am going to do through you. And so Fritz tells how he went on to have an amazing mission trip and how people were healed and like he saw incredible things happen. It's possible to work for God, to do things for God out of a motive that says, I am trying to climb my way to the top. I want to be acknowledged. I want to be appreciated. I want myself to reach some level of status. It's deeply ingrained in each one of us. But Paul would have an antidote. He would have a solution for this. He would have us turn our eyes to something else. And so Randy read us that passage, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. That passage flips upside down any kind of status building, any kind of place we think we need to reach, and has us focus on something else. It goes like this, Paul saying, have you experienced Christ among you? Have you been encouraged in Christ? Have you been encouraged from belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have any comfort from his love? Have you sat here on a Sunday morning and felt God's love for you? Have you been at home or driving? Have you felt God's love for you? Do you have any comfort from his love? Do you have any common sharing together in the Spirit? As a community, a gathered community here at Transformation Church, do you experience the presence of the Holy Spirit among you? Because if you do, there's something I'm going to ask you to do. If you experience these things, then agree wholeheartedly with each other. Have the same mindset. Be in full agreement with each other. Have the same love for one another. Have the same mindset. What kind of mindset is that? As we have experienced these things, and Paul is saying that to this church, he's saying, if you have experienced, but what he is also saying is, you have experienced it. Because you've experienced Jesus, I'm asking you to agree with each other wholeheartedly. to be of the same mind. And what is that mind? What is that mindset? This mindset is the antidote. It is the solution to what I described as my experience last Sunday. This is the solution. Do nothing, absolutely nothing, out of selfish ambition or conceit. Do nothing, nothing trying to impress people. Do nothing in a selfish way. Do nothing that puts yourself up at the top. But be humble. Lower yourself down. Put yourself under. Count yourself today. Count yourself today, this moment, in this room, as less significant than the others around you. Count others as more significant than you. Put yourself aside. Help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. I always used to think about this verse, that instruction was something like, well, I can never acknowledge if I think I'm any better at anything else than anybody. You think that's what Paul is saying? It's not what he's saying. He's saying, have a mindset that says one thing: I will see the other person beside me, around me, as the person who is more significant than me. And I will do anything. I will preach the gospel. I will live my life as a Christian for one purpose: to help them get ahead. This isn't about me. What about the conversations that we have after church or over coffee or over dinner? Is that conversation with our fellow believer mostly about myself? Or is it actually about listening such that I am humbling myself, and my goal in that conversation is to help that person experience Jesus more? Honestly, most of us, I'll at least speak for myself, I'm pretty taken up with who I am. Most of my conversations, I'm always weighing how I'm feeling and how I'm doing. But Paul is saying, lower yourself down. Think others more significant than yourself. I think the question is, Paul would be asking us, what kind of Christian will you be? Will we be the Christians that preach the gospel, live the Christian life, trying to get to the top, trying to be acknowledged, trying to be noticed, trying to be somebody? Or will we be the Christian that lowers ourselves down, makes ourselves humble, thinks about one thing: how do I help this person become everything God has designed them to be? I think of like a SWAT team, or I think of military. So my brother's in the military, and I think of them fast roping out of helicopters, something that he's done. Fast roping out of a helicopter is a dangerous thing, isn't it? Living life on this planet is a dangerous thing, isn't it? But imagine us, you know, gathered in the helicopter, and one by one, we're all going to have to go down that fast rope. Usually, at least according to the movies, I don't know how true those are, there's one person monitoring that whole process. And as they come out the end of the helicopter and get onto that fast rope, the one monitoring the process is like, go, 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 right? Keeping it safe, encouraging that person. And I just think of us. What if we saw ourselves as a community? And instead of being obsessed with getting our own advantage or getting our own place at the top, we see each other as that team. Go, go, go. Encouraging each other, building each other up. Isn't that what our core value is? We wholeheartedly build each other up. And so we no longer cling to getting our own advantage, clinging to status and power. Maybe we can become like Paul, who just desires one thing. He says, Lord, let my life be poured out, that people around me can be built up and inspired and encouraged. Because when we act like this, we are becoming more like Jesus. And in practical ways, in actual ways, it makes me think of some people in my life that I've noticed modeling this. So my uncle is the president of a very large business, 300 some employees, millions of dollars of profit. And I remember the day that he came forward with this idea that he had. Usually CEOs and presidents are on salary, aren't they? Usually they're not walking up to the time clock and punching in and punching out. Well, my Uncle James was on salary. But he came forward and he asked that he could be put onto a punch card because he wanted to walk in at 7 a.m. like every other employee and run his card through the punch and punch out at the end of the day, lowering himself, making himself shoulder to shoulder with people, not seeking status and power, lowering himself. Makes me think of Pastor Gene. Pastor Gene doesn't know I'm going to tell this story, so I might have to say sorry after. But years ago, Pastor Gene is the pastor of a church. The board is hiring him on to be this pastor, this lead pastor. There's an associate pastor as well. They offer Gene the higher wage, naturally. The associate pastor, the lesser wage. But Gene considers the needs of his associate pastor and the young kids that he has in his family. So he asked the board, can you switch the salaries and give the associate pastor the higher wage and me the lower wage? Laying aside status and power. Go, right? Being that crew chief in the helicopter, just empowering those around us to become everything God has designed us to be. Makes me think of the cleaning team, Ralph and Anton and who else? Jim. Who else? And Randy. And I'm picking on the guys, but just people who are saying, listen, we're part of a team. How do we build us up as a community? Laying aside power and status and a place of pomp. Can we be people like that? Who lay ourselves down? Who tap each other on the shoulder? Go, go, go. I guess the question then is, how do we become these people? That's a great goal to get to. How do we get there? And so Paul would have us read the rest of the passage. And it starts in verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. You know, another Bible translation says it this way. Have this mind of Jesus in you. And this mind of Jesus in you is yours in Christ Jesus. This mindset is yours in Jesus Christ. You see, because of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, we can have this mindset. We have been given it. You know what's interesting? Usually our desire for status or recognition or getting to the top some way, usually it's because we're insecure. Usually it's because we need someone to validate us. We need someone to notice us, and so we're insecure. But Jesus does something for us. He says, you are safe in me. You are more than okay in me. You have power because of me. You have a good life because of me. You have everything you need because of me. And doesn't that take away the need to climb our way to the top, step by step? Doesn't that allow us to turn our eyes and our mind and our heart to the one who is above everything and receive that from him? Jesus says, the one who humbles himself will be exalted, but the one who exalts himself will be humbled. We no longer have to jockey our way to the top. Jesus, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to be clung to, or to be grasped, or to be held onto. Jesus, he thought of other people. You know who he thought of? He thought of you and I. And Jesus, though he was above everyone, had all power, all authority, though he was God of gods and Lord of lords, though he brought this universe into existence, though even with his words, he could look out and say, let there be light. And there was light. Even though he could just look at the water and say, let there be fish in the water. He could look at the land and say, let there be animals. Power coming out of who he is. And even though all of the heavenly host cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and is to come," this man, this God Jesus, chose to humble himself, make himself nothing. Jesus, who had all status, all power, everything, humbles himself and becomes nothing. It says he did not count any of this worth clinging to, but he gave it all up, letting go of all his divine privileges, emptying himself out, becoming the lowest of the low, a slave, a slave. And then being obedient to the Father, he dies a death on a cross like a common criminal. If there's anyone who could have stayed at the top, who could have rightfully been there, who wouldn't have even done it out of insecurity, it was Jesus. But Jesus empties himself entirely, giving everything up. And he does it why? He does it to bring many sons and daughters like you and I to glory, to be with him forever. You see, Jesus models exactly what we are asked to do. And so God exalts Jesus to the highest place and gives Jesus a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So we're asked to take this same mindset, to think this same way as Jesus does. You know how we can do this? We can do this simply by saying, "Lord, here I am. Come give me that mindset. Come by the power of your Holy Spirit and allow me to experience life with you, where I now know you as someone in whom I am safe, someone in whom I can trust. Now I no longer need to climb to the top. I can be like Jesus and make myself small for the sake of my brother and sister." Perhaps we can consider once again the image of the helicopter, and each one of us at one point or another is going to go down that fast rope. Just like life is, out into the danger of life. But instead of each one of us jockeying for position, each one of us jockeying for being the first down that rope or being the most important, our main goal there in the back of that helicopter is simply to say, "Go, go, go." And we might be the last one left in the helicopter who's willing to go down that rope last. And so we humble ourselves. We become people like Jesus, who empties himself of everything, becoming a slave for the sake of others. So have you tasted his love? Have you felt his encouragement? Have you known his comfort? Do you have affection and sympathy for one another? Do you have the same mind? Then make my joy complete. Be of one united mind. Have the same love. Do nothing, nothing from selfish ambition, nothing from conceit, but in humility, count others as more significant than yourselves. With Christ-like humility, we build each other up.